Life is messy, kind of like those boots. Relationships are messy. We want them to be clean, but they're messy. Marriages are messy. I don't care if you went to the Reconnect marriage workshop. I'm sure this week you got into some mess in your marriage and had to reconnect, right? It was disconnect and you had to reconnect. Friendships are messy. They're never clean entirely. Parenting, child, parent relationships are messy. Brother and sister relationships in the church. In the church, can you believe that? Yes. Messy. Messy. Why do we have all these one another scriptures? Because God wants to help us with our messes. You know, growing up, I didn't understand how to be messy. We didn't live messy lives. Though there was mess in our household, but we didn't share about our mess. We didn't do that. We didn't want to mess up our household. We cleaned up mess. We didn't talk about mess. We didn't deal with mess. We didn't mess with mess. Wasn't our way of life. Maybe in your family, you guys got it all out and you shouted and yelled and fought each other. Not us. We were calm and cool. We didn't deal with mess. So I've had to learn to deal with mess in my life. I had to learn to accept mess in my life. I had to learn how to be honest. I'm still learning how to be honest. After 51 years, I'm learning how to be honest with my emotions. Learning how to identify what's inside. What's the mess that's inside that needs to come out? Am I mad, glad, sad, embarrassed? Messy. So today, we're not going to focus on Come As You Are, but this sermon is going to prepare us for that series, Come As You Are. And I'm excited about it because I really believe it prayerfully will offer up freedom to all of us as we come and seek and follow God, following Jesus. We have to follow even when we're messy. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to clean up my mess before I follow. And Jesus is saying, that's why I want you to follow, because I clean up your mess. You don't come clean. That's hard for some of us. Some of us, we're like, hey, I'm dirty. A lot of us, we kind of come prepared. Could you imagine if we just shared all the mess that happened this morning as we came to church? And we just stood up and said, what was your mess this morning? How did you leave messy? I mean, it'd be really exciting and really revealing. We put our best foot forward when we're around each and every one of us. Now, so I want to focus on two questions. But first, I want to ask two questions, but I want to focus on two words this morning to set us up for this Come As You Are series. The first word is contract, and the second word is covenant. Contract, covenant. What is a contract? Who could tell me? What's a contract? Yes. An agreement between two parties. Okay. Anybody else want to add to that definition? Yes. Ah, thank you, Esquire. Thank you. Thank you. I knew Anthony would break it down. Yes. Okay. Okay. Consideration, exchange, money, property. Yes. Okay, has dates that occurs or expires. Yeah. Legally binding in court. okay? Is there a difference between a contract and a covenant? If so, what's the difference? What's the difference between a contract and a covenant? Yes. Okay, covenant between you and God, contract between you and an individual. Anybody else? What do you think? Yes. Okay. Covenants don't rely on what we give. Contracts do, but covenants are, they don't rely on what we give. It's about what God gives to us. Okay, yeah. Okay, a promise to do or how you want something done. Okay, yes. Covenants don't end, contracts end. Contracts are broken when one of the party fails to keep their promise. Contracts are. Covenants are not. Now, so the question I want to ask this morning is really, do you live in a contract relationship or a covenant relationship? Is your marriage a contract relationship or a covenant relationship? And some of you who are not married, you're going to learn today. We're going to break it down today, okay? So I want you, if you're not married yet and you want to be married, you have a desire, today is your day. Write down some notes. We're going to give you some golden nuggets here, okay? Now, I'm sure none of us here who are married ever said this or thought this. This is not what I signed up for. Nobody in here ever thought about that, right? No? Huh? Lightning strike, right? I mean, if we're honest, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I imagined my marriage being. And from what I hear, many men come into marriage thinking that their wife will never change. She's going to be the same wife that you married, and all of these ways and all of our imaginations, the wife will never change. Are you hearing me, youngsters? Okay, you hear this, right? Now, women, from what I hear, typically look at their husband and say, I'll change him. He's going to change. I'm going to be the conduit for change. Boy, because of my love, because of the way I'm going to give to him, he's going to be a different man. Some of you are still waiting on that change. In some ways, Carlin is waiting on that change in me in some areas. When are you going to change? Let's go. You're overdue, right? The word covenant is mentioned in the Bible, translated in Hebrew, over 300 times. The Bible says nothing about a contract. God doesn't speak in terms of contract. He speaks in terms of covenant. And if you're to come as you are, you have to understand the two. You have to understand the difference. You will never come as you are if you think your relationship with God is under a contract. You only come as you are if you understand what a covenant is. And we're going to talk about that today. Here are some differences in marriage between a contract marriage and a covenant marriage. A contract marriage, I take you for me. A covenant marriage, I give myself to you. A contract marriage, what do I get? Covenant marriage, what do I what? Give. You got it. Contract marriage, I'll meet you halfway. A covenant marriage, I'll give you 100%. I'm all in. Contract, I have to. Covenant, I want to. Here are some elements that make up a covenant marriage. Okay, we're going to start with marriage, but obviously we're going to get to our relationships with God. Here are some elements that make a covenant marriage. Listen to them carefully. Covenants are the fruit of loving and faithful relationships. Covenant partners take responsibility for their actions. Covenants are based on freedom of choice. Covenant marriages are not built on coercion, deceit, and manipulation. Wives, submission is freely given and grows from respect, not fear and manipulation. In like manner, husbands, choose daily to love your wives as Christ loved the church. You must freely choose to love and honor her in spite of the fact that you may not feel like loving and honoring her. It's more than a feeling. Covenants are rooted in actions based on choices, not feelings. Our feelings are forever fluctuating. Therefore, to build a covenant marriage on feelings is to build it on shifting sand, which cannot support the foundation of marriage. Covenant partners nurture their relationship. As we experience the unconditional love of Christ, we're able to love our spouse as he loves us. And that's why it's important to understand, if you're to have a great marriage, you have to understand that covenant love that God has for you if you were to give that to your wife or to your husband. Covenants are based on commitments freely offered. A covenant is built on selfless love, freely given and freely received. What is the goal of a covenant marriage? What is the goal? And maybe you've talked about that at Reconnect. What's the goal of a covenant marriage? What do you think? Yes. To become one, okay? Awesome. Become one. What's another goal of a covenant marriage? Yes. Make your partner a success, okay? Yes. Kitty. To glorify God. Big one. To glorify God, yes. Help each other be transformed in the likeness of Christ, okay? And now, I want to take a pause. Do you hear that, people that are not married? If you desire to be married, you desire to have a covenant marriage, you got to understand what it's for. It's not just for you. It's a bigger picture. It's to glorify God and to be transformed in the image of Christ. God uses marriage to do that. What else? You want, yeah.
To raise up happy, wholesome children so that they can become productive citizens in society.
Raise up children so they can become productive, hopefully seeing what God has built in you. Not a perfect foundation, not a perfect marriage, but one that is covenant based. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Learn to love unconditionally. There is nothing like marriage that will teach you how to love unconditionally. Can I get an amen? Woo! I mean, you learn. But now, we're talking about marriage. Now let's transition into a covenant relationship with God. Let's transition, because this is where we want to park so that we can get ready next week to come as we are with all of our mess and feel comfortable in that relationship. The meaning of the Old Testament word bond, a covenant, refers to two or more parties bound together. Bound together. Now, do you think covenants were unique only to God's people? They weren't. I used to think covenants were just for God's people, but they were more for just God's people. Covenants existed between families, between tribes, between clans, and between brothers. But God brought a new element to otherwise a common practice of covenant making. God brought divine to the ordinary. He upped the game of the covenant making process. He became the initiator of the covenant with his people, which reached far beyond any human could ever imagine. God's covenant with his people, the Hebrew people with their covenant with Jehovah, received a wonderful new gift. And do you know what that gift was? It was the law. It was the law. Now, why was the law in this covenant relationship, why was it such a gift? Why was the law? Now, sometimes we go, the law, that ain't a gift. That's a constraint. That's a punishment. But why was the law a gift to God's people? Yeah, Dan. Yes. Yep. Yep. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you know, I love what you said about clarity. It gave God's people clear understanding. There was no more doubt. There was very clear expectations, clear directions, clear instructions. The law was a gift. It gave them clarity, divine clarity. What else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I mean, God wanted to communicate. He wanted intimacy with his people. The law was to be intimate, to be clear in his expectations. And what else was the law for? I don't want to. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we do need it, don't we? And we still do. Yeah, yeah. You guys would be flying on the Autobahn, going 100 miles an hour, right? Yes. The law protected God's people. It didn't restrain, it restrained them, it protected them as well. Protection. What else? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know, it leads us to Christ, and we'll talk about how it does that in a minute. The law was amazing. The law was not something that was binding in a bad way. The law gave instructions on morality, societal order, personal health, and welfare. Personal health. The law was amazing. Can you imagine how valuable it was to be the only people in the world who knew it was a good idea to wash your hands? The law provided that type of instruction. Even more remarkable, you think about how the law gave instruction so specifically that a person should be quarantined if they had an infectious disease. The law did that. The law explained that. The law was used to protect. What's even more remarkable is that God gave the Hebrews a way to make amends when they didn't hold up to their end of the covenant. Which blows my mind. God knew that it would be messy. And so he's going to provide a way to clean up the mess, to make sure there can still be relationship. That's a father. That's a loving God. Every time they broke the covenant, the Hebrews deserved to lose their divine covering and their special standing with God's people. And what did God do? He established a system of sacrifice. A system of sacrifice by which the priests could slaughter innocent animals on the behalf of sinful people. Now, we know that intellectually. But can you imagine living that out? Having a lamb at home and knowing that it's going to be slaughtered for your sins? The innocent lamb for your sins? God was reaching out to the covenant breakers to have a partial payment through the sacrifice of animals. Partial payment. It wasn't full payment. You know why? Because they had to sacrifice it over and over again. It was partial payment. Did God's people continue to violate his law by recurring idolatry? Absolutely. Because we're hard-headed and hard-hearted. So we went back to our sinful natures. We went to idols. God's law and his love wasn't enough. And so man would abandon him, and he would call him back. Eventually what happened, God's people went in exile. And for century upon century, sacrifice after sacrifice, God's wrath was poured on innocent animals instead of guilty people. And he promises people that there will one day be a better way. There will one day be full payment for your sins. No more sacrificing animals, but I'm going to be the sacrifice. You see how God deeply provides and prepares for relationship? The new way is most famously forecast by the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers." This covenant, this is a covenant I will make. I will put my laws on their minds and write them on their hearts. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jeremiah, a new covenant was to be established, a different covenant, a better covenant. This new covenant has all the characteristics of a biblical covenant. Two representatives, binding oaths, benefits, blood sacrifice, shared meal. So what's so different about this new covenant? Why is it so different? Now, I want to read to you a few covenant thoughts from the book, Free Yourself to Be Yourself. And I want you to listen very carefully and get a new understanding about covenant. Okay? Listen carefully. The new covenant is not between you and God. The new covenant is not between you and God. You are not the primary representative on this earthly side. Jesus is. And who represents the divine side of this covenant? Jesus again. Scripture declares For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises, Hebrews 8:6. The new covenant is new because it's not between you and God. It's between God the Son and God the Father. In one person, Jesus Christ, humanity and divinity meet. Yes, there are two representatives in the new covenant, one divine and one human. But you are totally out of the drama. You are out of the loop. There is one and only one mediator between God and humanity, and you are not he. The new covenant is totally new because it's not between God and his people, but between God and his Son. I hope you're getting all this in. When the covenant-keeping Christ calls out on the cross, "It is finished," he is announcing to all the cosmos that the covenant has been completed, sealed, delivered forever. Now, the new covenant does not hinge upon your faithfulness. It all hangs upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. There is no wondering whether the new covenant will be kept. It already has been kept. What are your thoughts? You see, we always think it's a contract, but it's different. You can't come as you are until you understand that fully. Yes. Yeah. He can represent both sides. And it leaves us out of it, and it leaves us to be able to freely be messy. All right, Candace. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what have we done to deserve anything? That's the point. What else? I thought, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Break it down, Russ. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, you know, we can feel guilty in the church because we bring our humanity in and we leave the divinity out. We got to bring it in. We got to bring him in. Any other thoughts? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah, amen. Amen. Now what we're doing here, I'm preparing you for come as you are. Okay, because some of you are not Christians today because you're trying to be something that only God can make you. You're going, oh, I got to clean this up. I got to get this right. No, you'll never get it right. He can only get it right through you. And some of us are guilt-ridden, and we feel like we can't do anything. I should be here, I should be there. When God's saying, I want you to come as you are. Even 30 years in this relationship, come as you are. And see, if we were to understand every week we have the opportunity to celebrate something. We have an opportunity to come together and celebrate this love story. Celebrate this covenant relationship. Boy, communion, it takes on a whole nother meaning. This is what we celebrate. The covenant of God, not the contract of God. And if we can begin to decipher the difference, we can be able to understand that when Jesus says, the truth will set you free, he wasn't talking about the do's and don'ts. He's talking about himself. If you understand the truth of who it is that you see here, the Messiah, then you can be free. But if you want a king to rule, then you're still under contract and not under covenant. So as we take communion this morning, let's have these thoughts in our hearts and our minds. Not a contract, but a covenant. Let's pray. Let's go to our Father and pray. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to know the difference. Help us, Father, to celebrate not our victories, but the one that was on the cross. Father, help us celebrate the victory that after 3 days, you resurrected Jesus. Father, because death couldn't keep a hold on him. And Father, as a result, death can't keep a hold on us. Father, change our minds, change our hearts. Help us to be separate from this world's standards and to accept a covenant relationship with you, Father, that is better than life itself. Father, we love you. We thank you for extending your body, the sacrifice, the blood, the power of the resurrection. Father, all that we can read about, and Father, we want to live by faith, and we want to be free. Help us. Help us as we celebrate all that we have in you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we discussed two words, contract, covenant. Contract, covenant. The two questions I want you to think about and ask yourselves, is your marriage under contract or covenant? And if you're not married, I pray that today has helped you to prepare for one day you being married, but understanding what that is and what it's not. And the second question is your relationship with God under contract or covenant? And I'd love for us throughout this week to have some coffee with somebody in here and have that talk, whether it's between you and your spouse or you and another brother or sister or friend. But get prepared for this series. I'm excited about it. I really believe it's going to change our lives and change the church. just through understanding that how we can come as we are. That is very, very important. So please pray for that. Ask these questions. Have some great conversations this week. And we'll see you back here next Sunday. And so if we can stand, and we'll close with the final song. And please, parents, during this song, please go get your kids and Kingdom Kids. Thank you so much. Let's all stand.